Hey, we're Ginger and Jeremy Volo, and this is the Hope We Hold podcast,
where we have weekly conversations around our family table to share the hope of Jesus. It's been a wild ride, hasn't it?
It really has, yeah. I don't think anyone could have predicted what we'd be experiencing this year.
Yeah, it seems like every week there's something new, something we've never seen before.
Yeah.
From murder hornets.
Ugh.
To coronavirus.
Pretty crazy.
And we have an election.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
There's
been
so much going on.
A lot going on. And yeah, we wanna chat about it.
Yeah. So today we are going to talk about COVID-19 and specifically how should we be responding right now. But first, guys, we are so encouraged by your stories you've been sending in. And we started this Our Hope Story thing on social media, and you've responded amazingly, and we've loved hearing your stories that you've shared with us, your stories of hope.
Yeah, seriously. And for those of you who want to share, tag us on social media at Hope We Hold and use the hashtag Our Hope Story and tell us about the hope you found. We love reading and sharing them.
Yeah, or you can send it into contact@hopewehold.com.
Yeah, that too, whatever's easiest. And also rate and review.
Yes. When
we started this podcast this past summer, one of our friends told us, who's kind of in the podcast world, he said, remind your listeners to rate and review the podcast. And so we do that every show. We were like these newbies, we still are, just jumping on mics. And that was something they said, make sure in the podcast world is important you rate and review. And actually, it's been really fun reading those reviews. We're glad we do that because you guys say some really awesome things.
Yeah, it's really helpful and also encouraging for us just to hear your feedback and even things that you would want us to talk about on the podcast or how you've been helped by it. And it really encourages us just to keep doing it.
Yeah, so. I think probably half of our episodes have been stuff that you guys as listeners have said, hey, can you talk about this?
Yeah.
And so we're like, hey, that's a great topic of conversation. So we've done it. And so guys, rate and review.
Yes. And so today we have a story from Haley LeBlanc.
Yeah, she wrote in her hope story on social media. And this is what she shared in her story. She said, when I was 14 or 15 years old, I developed severe depression and anxiety. I struggled with drug addiction, self-harm, and suicidal thoughts for years. I lost hope in God's love and mercy because of how much I was suffering, as I believed I had no purpose here on this earth. I questioned why a loving God would allow me to almost take my own life so many times. Then I realized that God gave me these struggles for a purpose, to give others who are having a hard time hope. She puts that in all caps, hope. Now I am dedicated to using my social media platforms to sharing my recovery with people, as well as the hope I have found in Jesus and how he saved my life. The Holy Spirit has filled me up and has made such a difference, a major difference in how I live my life. By the grace of God, I am over 3 years sober and 1 year self-harm free. I still struggle with mental illness, but because of God's great love and mercy, I know my own purpose is to help others by spreading the gospel. Again, thank you for all you do. I appreciate your desire to share hope with all of us.
What a beautiful story. And just how she's found hope. Haley has hope in Christ, and that her desire and her purpose now is to help others, and her focus has changed to help others by spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and that's one of the beautiful dimensions of Christianity she hits on is purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about your existence and why you exist, you remove God from that, and you remove the glory of God, the one who has beautifully fashioned you and created you and given you cause to exist. Why do we exist? To eat, drink, and be merry, have fun, and then that's it? You know, the whole book of Ecclesiastes deals with this. It's all vanity, the preacher's saying. You know, whether you work hard or you're lazy, whether you're rich or you're poor, everybody dies. What's the point? And what's really cool is that Haley has hit on it, that God has given me a purpose. He's given this glorious gospel, this gospel of Jesus. I can share that gospel. As I live, I can share hope with the world. Dave, that's why you and I started this podcast in the first place, isn't it?
Yeah, it was our desire really just to be able to hear from you all, but then also just to share the hope of Christ that we have experienced just through knowing him. And so We trust it has been encouraging to you all.
Yeah. And so today we want to talk about a topic that hopefully will continue to encourage. It's a topic we're all dealing with, whether you are on the other side of the globe or right here in Los Angeles, COVID-19. Mm. And we're going to chat with a friend about this. But I wanted to ask you, babe, you know, we talked a lot about this, especially when the lockdown, the quarantine first hit. There were some negatives and positives. What were some of the negatives? And maybe what were some of the positives too about that time where we were really just forced to kind of slow down? And
yeah, I think initially at the beginning, it was just like the unknown. You did not know what this was going to be like, how long it was going to last. I remember when Jerry, you called me and we were talking about grocery stores and things like that that might change or lockdown. And I just trying to wrap my mind around that, like, is this really going to happen? Is it that serious? We don't know. And I remember going to the grocery store one day and then a couple days later going again. And it was like I was in a line. There were, you know, tons of people out in front of the grocery store waiting to get their food. It was just life changed so quickly. And we were inside. A safer at home order was put in place. And I think that was just, it was, initially, I think it was just such a wonderful time just for us to be home. We had hosted a lot of people prior to that. And so it was kind of just a break for us. I think just, wow, this is nice. We're home. Jer's just studying up in his office. And we just had a lot of sweet family time in those first few weeks. Yeah.
And by God's grace, we were among some who economically, just given the nature of my job, I was able to just do things online.
Yeah, which was such a blessing.
Yeah, with the seminary and different things. So I was able to work from home. Now, there's a lot of people who economically were devastated just because their work was hands-on.
Right.
Their work was restaurants.
Everything stopped.
Retail.
Yeah.
And everything shuts down.
So tragic.
And so, man, it was enjoyable in the sense of it forced us to slow down.
Yeah.
But we were just grateful that the Lord allowed us to be, to have work that was able to continue.
Yeah, that's so true.
But we were able to come alongside and want to serve and help those who weren't in that same position. Mm-hmm. That was really difficult. One lesson I think I've learned through that lockdown and kind of this whole pandemic has been valuing what's valuable in life and just making sure we do slow down and prioritize family, because life can really speed up quick. Mm. And so whether it was a lockdown or a personal sickness or other circumstances that make you slow down, that's a good lesson to learn. Mm. And I remember we talked a lot about seeing how many people were going on walks every night.
Yes, families,
entire families walking.
It's amazing.
Spending time together.
Which we don't see that in our neighborhood all the time.
No, never saw it before.
Ever. And so seeing that was just so amazing. And I was telling Jared, I was like, I wonder how long this is going to last.
Right.
Will this last after COVID is gone? You know, like after it's like this season of us staying at home is gone? Or will it change or not?
Yeah. And we'd like to preserve that, you know, taking those. Felicity loves going on a walk.
Felicity always asks us. I don't think she would let us stop taking our family walks. She's all about it.
Seriously.
Every day she asks for a walk.
Loves it.
It's so sweet.
Some things you've wrestled with maybe, you know, through this time?
Yeah, I think some loneliness can kick in when you feel like, or just discouraged. You're like, I just want to be with friends. I do want to have people over after, you know, weeks of being at home. I just, you know, wanting to be at church, wanting to be with other believers and travel to see family or whatever it may be, things that we would take for granted before. And now just thinking, oh, wow, like these things are hard. And how is life going to look beyond this? Or just wanting to go out and do something and everything's closed. It's like those are very little things. They don't really matter as much, right? But like just because of what we're so used to on a day-to-day basis, I think some of those things were just like discouraging in a sense.
It can be tough to work through.
Yeah.
For sure. And I know our listeners, I mean, you guys, you've been wrestling through all of this too. And it's been difficult. And these are really confusing days, especially when it comes to COVID-19, the coronavirus, especially when it comes to viruses. You know, I think we've learned a lot more about viruses this year, yes. All of us. And we're constantly hearing from experts, aren't we? You know where the best source for virus expertise is, I found
where?
Out? Twitter.
Oh, really?
There's so many experts.
I'm not a big Twitter person, as you know, babe. I don't quite get Twitter.
You got to get on there.
I have a Twitter account, and pictures can go up on there. But
I never realized how many people are virus experts until COVID-19. And then you realize, oh my goodness, I've been following this person for years on Twitter, and I had no idea they're a virus expert.
It's astonishing.
Okay, so I'm dripping with sarcasm. But the point is, if everyone is an expert, then no one is, right?
Yeah.
And we're surrounded by like self-proclaimed experts. And here's the reality. We have a lot of questions, and especially as Christians, we have a lot of questions. We constantly have data coming out, and everyone's reading it differently. They're giving their different opinions. You watch Fox News, you get one story. You watch CNN, you get another story. You get MSNBC, and MSNBC, get another story. I mean, it's a very confusing time.
It is.
If you don't wear a mask, are you killing grandma? Or are you infecting your own face with bacteria? How do we know? And who do we listen to?
Mm.
And as Christians, in these times, we do know where to run. And that's to God's word. Now, it's not a science textbook, but it is sufficient for all things pertaining to life and godliness, morality, ethics, salvation, the reality of God. There's no verse about viruses directly, but so, you know, we have to have an understanding that it won't be an instruction manual for how to use a microscope.
Right.
You know, if you think that's what the Bible is, you're reading it wrong.
Mm.
But the reality is it has something to say that affects everything.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to ask, how do Christians in this confusing time respond in a way that is godly, and that is balanced, proper, loving, wise, smart, and God-honoring?
This is a question I heard asked to Dr. Austin T. Duncan earlier this week. There was a conversation between some guys, and Dr. Duncan was listening, the venerable Dr. Duncan. Then he spoke at the end of this conversation and just said, "Let me give 5 points. I was blown away. It was good. I mean, it was really good. I feel like I should go deeper on that. It was it was good. I can't go deeper." And so I found out after that these 5 points, or these 5 words he gave, he thought of them as the conversation was taking place. So it was that classic, you know, he's just sitting there, he's listening. And then he says, "Guys, let me share some words." And he shares 5 words. And it was so timely, it was so fitting, it was appropriate. And so I said, after this conversation, I said, "Please, can you talk to me and Ginger about this? We need to know how to respond during this time, and our listeners do as well." And so I asked the man, the myth, the legend himself, the Reverend Dr. Austin T. Duncan, to join us today to discuss this. Doctor, thank you for coming on.
Well, I hope your listeners understand sarcasm, because that was way too... gravitas, too much gravitas in that.
There was no sarcasm.
So I have to say 2 things at the outset. Number one, I need to undersell these 5 words, because literally we were just having a conversation with some leaders in our church that work with college students, and you know, we're trying to get through this like everybody else is, and trying to think about how to think biblically and how to be helpful and wise and expressing care and staying true to our core convictions, you know, through pandemics and politics and everything that 2020 has brought us, that we're so grateful for. So we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
And the second thing I need to clarify, Dr. Duncan is not what you need to call me. I have a doctor of ministry degree, which is I have zero medical expertise. So if somebody has a rash, don't show it to me. If you want to know about vaccinations, I say get them like crazy. But I have no I have no medical expertise. That's so, and that's kind of the point, you know, that this is a time where everybody's an expert. It just seems like everybody, you know, nobody wants to stay in their lane. Everybody seems to know everything about everything. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, everybody's a statistician. Everybody's an immunologist. I don't even know how to say that word. You know, public health experts, you know, that even that word, nobody even believes in such a thing anymore. Right. So I'm just trying to stay balanced in this time. And as I'm working with college students who can be prone to extremism because they're young and they have less life experience than they do knowledge. So, you know, we have hundreds of students down at UCLA, one of the finest schools in these United States. And the average incoming GPA of a UCLA student is 4.25. These kids are not dumb. They worked hard to get into school. But they also have no street smarts because they're 18, 19 years old. And they also don't have a lot of Bible smarts because they've been, you know, hitting the books hard. So, you know, we're trying to help them grow in their faith. And so I'm talking to these leaders and we're just kind of talking about where things are at in our church. And our church is making headlines right now because we feel like the government is picking on us to a certain degree. And we're just trying to be faithful church people. Like, right. I'm not thinking about, you know, vast electoral issues. I don't know exactly what's going on with what the media is saying. I just want to be a pastor to these students, and that's what we were talking about. Mm. So I told them these five words to our leaders, and I think that they're applicable to any believer who wants to be balanced and biblical
in a
time like this, right? Balanced and biblical.
So like we've been talking about, these are very confusing days and a lot of opinions are being thrown around. I mean, you can sit with 10 people and ask their thoughts on how we should respond to COVID-19 and you'll likely get 10 different answers. So where do we begin? Jer said that you shared five words for Christians during this time. And so what's number one?
Cool. So the five words, number one is credible. Credible. And credibility is something that is not easily achieved anymore. I think people think about credibility in the wrong ways. And now even experts are not seen as credible. But one of the ways that we as Christians who have a concern for truth, you know, we're about truth and we're about the Word of God being the source of our truth. We have to be very careful these days because everybody's throwing so many statistics around and everybody's trying to say, you know, they know exactly what the crude fatality rate. Can you believe that we even know the words crude fatality rate? That was not something we knew in 2019. So, but you know, everybody with an Instagram now thinks that they have expertise. And that's one of the things I appreciate about you guys is you're not doing this podcast because you're experts. You're doing this podcast because you have an audience and you want to serve them and help them. And it's not, you know, I mean, Jeremy and Ginger aren't giving, you know, profound parenting advice with their, you know, 2-year-old baby.
Look, it's,
you know, it's she's a little disturbing.
she's 2 years old. We've been married for 4 years.
Right,
everybody wants
it down.
Yeah, whatever
right?
You guys think, we'll just do it. Just say it. But that's what I'm talking about. It's like there's a credibility problem, I think. And it's not that, you know, unless you have a PhD, you can't talk. That's not the point. I'm just saying, if you're going to engage in something, make sure you've done your homework. Make sure you've checked it. And I don't mean that you Googled it.
So would you say kind of like, and Ginger and I have talked about this a lot, and we've had a conversation with Tony Ranke, who from Desiring God, who's written books about the spectacle age and the rise of social media and stuff. And wouldn't you say that, you know, before even, 15, 20 years ago, maybe even, you want to learn about a virus, you're picking up, first of all, a dictionary, and then you're going to these certain medical sources if you want to know. Social media has kind of leveled everyone's voice. So even people with a blue check mark, you're like, well, why do they have the blue check mark on their Twitter? They must be saying what's true. And so now everyone's opinion, like you said a minute ago, has become sort of this expert opinion. And we're like, we're drowning in experts. And so the credibility gets lost in all of that.
Well, that's why I'm trying to tell myself and you know, my co-laborers in ministry, let's hold fast to the faithful word. That's what Paul says, right? Hold fast to the faithful word. So I have a different level of commitment to the Bible and what the Bible says, to Christianity and its core doctrines, than I do to stuff that's in the headlines right now. So I'm not saying you shouldn't have opinions. I mean, if you have an opinion on mail-in voting, you know, you're allowed to rock that all you want. But are you gonna present that on the same level you're gonna present the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. I mean, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is something that, you know, we have insurmountable evidence of, that the scriptures testify to in perfection. I don't hold political things in the same level as I hold those things. And I think when you throw the statistics around all the time, and when you're trying to, you know, convince people that you have, you know, the answer, the aha, the gotcha thing with, you know, some kind of math formula or Instagram post or chart that you found online, it's just, you're losing credibility, and you're focusing, I think, on fluff rather than things that are timeless and true. So even temperedness is such a desirable trait in an age of vitriol. So that's the first word, credible. Second word is similar, but it's just to be careful. I mean, the Bible says so much about guarding your mouth, right? The Proverbs say, if you want to look like a wise person, a person who has all the skill for living, then talk less and listen more. So
I'm writing this one down.
A dozen times in the Proverbs, at least, it says, you know, that a wise person puts a gate on their mouth. He who loves life will, you know, put a guard on their mouth. And so you can say it cheesy, you know, God gave you one mouth and two ears so that you listen with the two ears, less than, you know, twice as much listening. But I don't know. I think that's probably an issue of just symmetry. People would look weird with one ear. So I think that being careful means to talk less, to be circumspect in your words, to recognize that there are gray areas in life.
Yeah, and you're a big fan of wisdom literature, and why is that so important for us?
Yeah, wisdom literature, well, I think a lot of people wouldn't know what that means. Wisdom literature is a part of the Bible, a genre, if you will, of the Bible that would include things like the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. It would include some of the Psalms, Job, that story about that suffering man who lost everything, and then his friends with their bad counsel try to meet with him, and then in the end he meets God. The book of Ecclesiastes, these are kind of right in the middle of the Bible. If you've never explored them, I commend them to you. Ecclesiastes is Solomon's, you know, reflection back on his life, and it's his meditations on death. The Song of Songs, a book about love and marriage. And then the book of James in the New Testament is a wisdom book. And so when we think about wisdom literature in the Bible, wisdom, when we think of wisdom, probably in American culture, in the English language, we think of an owl or, you know, the wise owl. Right. So we think of somebody old that knows a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's part of wisdom, but wisdom is actually a skillful application of truth. Mm-hmm. That's more what the biblical presentation of wisdom is about. And when you're talking about how to be wise in this life, the Bible doesn't give you hints and tips so much. It presents a worldview, a way of thinking about life and eternity and God and man and sin and salvation. But it doesn't just tell you what to do. I mean, we have the Ten Commandments, right? How much of your daily decision-making comes from the Ten Commandments? You know, shall I not kill or shall I kill? That's not a normal daily decision that you're making. But you are deciding how you're going to respond to your spouse, how you're going to parent your kids. You're deciding how you're going to spend your time. What kind of employee are you going to be? You know, what are your entertainment choices? And the Bible doesn't tell you exactly what to do in these situations. And so that calls for wisdom literature. And that's why I'm saying be careful, because what, 90% of your life is gray areas.
Right.
Now, there's things that are crystal clear in the Bible. God's will for your life is to avoid sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. So fornication, sleeping around, is not a gray area. Sex is for marriage, things like that. Like those are crystal clear in the Bible. But what kind of job you decide to pursue, you know, unless it's some immoral occupation, it's not a black and white thing. It's not a binary thing. It's not just this and that. So much of life is gray area. So much of life is nuanced. How are you going to handle the unlimited options in front of you? And you don't want to over-apply scripture and say, you know, thus says the Lord, when the Lord hasn't said. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean by be careful. Can you just have an accurate, you know, analysis of what the scriptures say or don't say about this?
And so with coronavirus specifically, that would apply in not looking and judging the various responses of Christians to this. Because there's a lot of nuance to this.
Right.
You know, there's so many questions. Like, Ginger and I were talking earlier about the masks. You know, some people are completely for it. Some are totally against it, and everything in between. And appreciate you wearing a mask during this if you're...
It's audio, so you can't tell. I don't know how you'd be able to tell if I have a mask on with an audio recording.
We're 6 feet apart. So the nuance, though, of coronavirus... And these conversations requires being careful in the application of truth.
Yeah. And that's the third word. The third word is conscientious. And when we say conscientious, we think of someone who is thoughtful towards others. You know, conscientious, if you tell a child to be conscientious, it means to be considerate, to care for the needs of others. But built in that word is the idea of the conscience. And walking with wisdom requires not stomping all over everybody else's toes. Mm. And so, look, you can have questions about the efficacy of masks, right? Like, I don't know that this piece of paper is going to protect me from disease. You can believe that. Or you can feel very confident as you go into your local Piggly Wiggly with your, you know, piece of t-shirt over your mouth and you know, feel like you have anonymity, safety. Invincibility. But why you want to judge other people, I find it just incredibly unhelpful. This is not the most important issue in the universe. And my friend pastors a church in Springfield, Virginia, Jesse Johnson, Emmanuel Bible Church, and he told his church in a video, kind of when they started to open up again, if coming to church and seeing people without a mask is going to bother you, it's too early to come back yet. Mm. And if coming to church and seeing people with a mask is going to bother you, then it's too early to come back to church yet. Because the unity of the saints is more important than your position on tertiary matters, on things that are not of first importance. And I thought that was wise. And I think that a wise Christian doesn't find himself in an extreme position on things that aren't cornerstone kind of things in the Bible. So a conscientious person walks with wisdom, is aware of the conscience of others. It's a Romans 14 kind of a thing. That's a chapter in the New Testament that talks all about both maturity. You don't want to be a weak Christian, an immature Christian. You want to grow. But you also want to be conscientious and careful around all other believers. And you want to be able to defer to them. And that's part of being conscientious, of having regard for the conscience. And then trusting the Holy Spirit in the life of other Christians to help those people make wise decisions. Like, I don't need to boss and bully people. The worst kind of pastor is, a heavy-handed pastor, one who thinks he has to control the people who God has entrusted to him.
Yeah, and it really comes down to not believing what the Holy Spirit says. And here we're dealing with Christians that the Holy Spirit is the Lord of their conscience. Jesus says in Romans 14, which you pointed to, that it's for this reason that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose, that he would be Lord of the conscience. So that's super helpful, being conscientious. And you said on the other day when I heard you saying this in the conversation, you said, don't enjoy stomping on other people's flowers. It's like, hey, that's their garden. Be conscientious. Let them approach this a little differently than how you're approaching it, and give some grace there.
Be sensitive, you know? I mean, don't be such a ham-handed clod. And why are you you know, a Christian bull in a china cabinet, you know, getting in everybody else's business. Mind your own business. Stay in your lane. And more than that, don't be so mouthy and rude to people who think a little differently than you on these things. I just think when I think about conscientiousness, I just want to... Baptists, old Baptists used to call this this idea of Christian liberty, you know, mm-hmm. that you can... You have freedom in Christ. We don't live by commandment. We're under the law of Christ, which is the law of liberty and peace. So old Baptists used to call that soul competency. Like, I trust that Ginger's soul is competent to make the decisions that she's going to make in her life. And I trust that Jeremy's soul is competent because he has the Holy Spirit. He has the Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean that you're never going to make a mistake. You're never going to make a wrong judgment call. But I think that to extend the kind of grace that knows that God is working in that person and I don't need to meddle with them so much, I think can be helpful. Mm. A fourth word, consistency. Consistency. And I think this one just goes along with credibility and carefulness and conscientiousness, but consistency is just integrity. The word integrity, you know, is the root of that word is integer. It means whole. A person with consistency is a person who's a person with integrity, a person who's one way all the time.
Right.
On the podcast, they're the same. At the ping pong table, they're the same.
Jeremy always
winning. Jeremy
always
and I play ping pong sometimes.
I thought that would be a sore spot for you to bring up, Austin.
But Jeremy is a very good ping pong player. If you're a table tennis aficionado listening to this podcast, we're doing another episode later on table tennis. We're going to interview some of the great players.
Do you want to speak to that?
I have lost so many times to Jeremy. But recently, listeners, there's been a turn. There's been a turn in the game. And the L column still gets plenty of marks in it. But I got a couple W's, and I don't want to be arrogant about it.
Is it like a new paddle that you purchased?
It's, or? You know, Jeremy's the one that's been investing in new materials. So I think my game is on the increase, and I think his has plateaued. Okay, Ooh. So I was talking about consistency, which is really the key to ping pong. That's the key to ping pong. So consistency means a person acts the same, whether you're with your family, with your coworkers, whether you're a living with your parents at home, and then how you act at school. We all know what it means to be a hypocrite, mm-hmm. a person who wears a mask, different than the Corona style, a person who is just has a layer, has a covering that's fake, and it's not who they really are. And I think the way this applies to the issue that we're all in right now is you have people who are very upset for those who are choosing to go to church, who are, you know, gathering with the saints on Sunday, and other Christians who think it's too early, it's not time to do that. But I've seen a lot of people who are, you know, well, I'm not going to go to church, but they're perfectly fine traveling around. They're perfectly fine going to restaurants, hanging out with their friends. I just think, like, let's be a little bit consistent on this thing. If you're you know, in 175 days not leaving your house, I bet that you need to make some phone calls. You need to get out a little bit. You need to talk to some people. You just need wisdom right now, because he who isolates himself, Proverbs 17, does so to his own harm. And so fellowship makes us unwise. But more significantly, apply your standards consistently. Don't be such a hypocrite, you know? And I think that sometimes church these days is getting the brunt end of that hypocrisy. So that's just a word about consistency, which is important to all Christians. Fifth and final word is the word compassion. Compassion. And this is kindness. You know, Christians were originally called kind ones. The root of the word kind and the concept of kindness in 1 Corinthians 13, love is kind, was something that was applied to Christians. Christians were known for their kindness. And I think compassion is something that Jesus taught to us and modeled for us. Imagine how Jesus worked with disciples, the imperfect disciples who had lots of different agendas, who were imperfectly following him, who he lived with for 3 years and taught them. I mean, the disciples had to be hard to manage, to say the least. If it's difficult to manage your family, you know, and all the different personalities in a family, Imagine 12 disciples and the perfect Lord. And Jesus was so compassionate to them and patient with them. To be able to get the tax collector Matthew to work alongside of Peter is nothing short of miraculous. And Jesus dealt with those dynamics constantly. And it's because he was a man of patience, of kindness, and of compassion. And you get examples of that not just towards disciples, but towards unbelievers. Look at Jesus and the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler turns his back on Jesus, does not become a disciple. And at the end of the story, it says Jesus looked at him and felt compassion. Jesus climbs up on the mountain above Jerusalem, looks at Jerusalem and says, how I long to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks. And this is a city that was rejecting him and rejecting his messianic claims. And Jesus had compassion on them. He felt for them. And so we should be compassionate on a world that's scared of death. And so when all the headlines are screaming, you know, death, 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 disease, and we live in a world that has not conquered the fear of death, only Jesus has conquered the fear of death, we should feel compassion on them and a desire to show them that they do not need to be afraid of death if they trust Christ. And we also need to have compassion and kindness towards one another, people who think a little bit differently about the pandemic. And so I think that's the words that I was thinking. That's what I've been thinking about, just trying to respond right to this thing and to respond in a way that's not going to alienate my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's not going to be just another toxic example to the world of somebody who's mouthing off all the time about something they don't understand. Mm-hmm. So I trust that the reason everything is happening right now in the world today, from who is in the White House to how bad the virus spreads in this place and that place, to all the craziness happening in societal changes with men and women and everything else, that this is exactly where God has brought us. That he, Psalm 115:3, God is on his throne and he does exactly what he pleases. So what if we trusted that 2020 isn't the worst year ever, but this is the exact moment that God has brought us to so that we could be his church, his saints, his disciples, image bearers who have been transformed by the hope of the gospel. So I think it takes a different perspective to get there when things are the way they are. This isn't the worst year in human history. I mean, there's been some bad ones. There's been wars, there's been global famine, there's been so many things, and God hasn't changed through all of that. And what he desires for us, the mercy he gives us at the cross of Christ, is still available to us in 2020. And I think that's how I want to be thinking about these things, and that's how I want it to inform kind of my approach to others.
Mm. That's really helpful.
I told you it'd be good.
Yes.
And I think one of the dimensions is just how balanced, how nuanced, and a recognition of how we can, in very confusing times, walk like Christ through it. Reverend Dr. Duncan, thanks for joining us today on the Hope We Hold podcast.
It's my pleasure to hold hope with you.
And, that was good.
And we'll see you soon for an episode on ping pong.
Yeah, we'll do table tennis, the marks and priorities of a table tennis player.
Love that. Thanks, Doc. Well, guys, thanks for hanging out. We hope that was helpful and edifying. And hopefully it gives you some practical, know-how to go back out into this world today and handle this in a really respectable, winsome, loving, kind, gentle, compassionate, conscientious way.
Yes, most definitely. There's a lot to think about.
Well, guys, again, rate and review the podcast. We've been enjoying reading your reviews. We hope that you were encouraged. Thanks for sitting with us today on the Hope We Hold podcast.
And it is our hope that your hope would be in Christ alone.